Welcome to Water Online Radio's coverage from WEFTEC, broadcasting live from New Orleans, Louisiana. WEFTEC 16, creating the future of water. Water Online Radio is brought to you by WaterOnline.com, showcasing today's water industry leaders and innovators. And now, here is your host, Todd Schnee.
All right, good afternoon and welcome back to our sixth year of coverage from WEFTEC. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Bill King. This promises to be an interesting conversation. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're down here in New Orleans. Tonight, the Saints are playing the Falcons on Monday Night Football. But I think the city is actually more excited to hear from our next guest.
I do, too. Even more so than the Trump Clinton debate.
I think so. This is the highlight of this Monday.
This 2:20 p.m. Central Daylight Time is the media event of the day.
I think so.
Not just for the Southeast, just for the Gulf Coast, for the, I think, the entire planet. Promises to be really interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Let's say hello to our guest. His name is Rick Bacon, the CEO of Aqua Metrology Systems. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much indeed for having me on.
No, it's our pleasure, Rick. I appreciate you making time to join us. Now, you're awfully busy as you ran up to the booth here in a full-scale sprint, probably from the last sale you just made. So grateful for your time. Rick, before we get into our conversation, we have some important things to talk about. But take a few quick seconds and inform us a bit about you, your background, and then give us that overview of Aqua Metrology Systems.
So I came into the water industry late on in life. When I got involved, well, I've always been very interested in technology startups. And I was actually one of the first clients for the company I'm now chief executive of. So you've heard the phrase, you know, I like the razors, I bought the company. same sort of story with Aqua Metrology Systems. Great team of guys, been around for 7 years. Built some great technology, but needed to take it to market. And I knew the water industry out of one of the jobs I'd done before. And so for the last 4 years, I've been working with them to turn what was a brilliant product into a commercial success, not only here in the US, but across the rest of Europe and beyond.
Well, tell us a little bit about that product.
Okay, so our DNA, if you like, is built around online instrumentation. So we only do online instrumentation. And that's the future for a lot of water analytical situations. We built one product which was based around disinfection byproducts, which is a regulated contaminant of concern across the world. In fact, it's a carcinogen. Up until that point, there was nothing in the market which would give asset owners, so a utility or regulators, real-time data on the presence of that contaminant in their water. And we've developed the product since to be able to predict the presence of that contaminant and give operators real-time data to either design effectively a plant or run it effectively, cost-effectively.
What's driving that market for online instrumentation? I mean, this is an industry traditionally slow to adopt change and new technology. I mean, is it being embraced?
Yeah, I think there is a degree of conservatism in the industry. But things in the last, I would say, a year have changed quite dramatically. Obviously, regulations tend to be written at a point in time in history when and based on existing technology. As regulators become aware that there are new technologies now, that increases the breadth of things that they can regulate, but also the depth of that regulation. So there's been technology advanced by companies like mine. I think the regulators have come to realize that once a quarter readings from a lab don't give you any real indication of what's going on in a water system. So there's that as an issue. And consumers, I think, are waking up to the fact that just because they get a water report a quarter after the water, they drank the water, that might not be quite a good enough indicator of what they're drinking. So you've got a consumer push, a technology push, and a regulatory push.
So those are the benefits, I think, what you're talking about there of like the online piece of instrumentation. Is that correct?
Absolutely. A lot of people compare us to labs, but in fact, a lab does regulatory stuff. What we focus very much on is the data. So yeah, we provide instruments, but actually what people want is data, either because they've got a contaminant of concern, they need to design something based on real data as opposed to occasional readings, because contaminants can move up and down in a short space of time. Mm-hmm. There are a bunch of people, there's loads of them here in this show, who are offering vendor solutions to that contaminant problem. But they're all making promises like every organization does, but you've got to validate that as a solution. It's much better to do that with online instrumentation rather than waiting 10 days to get the result back from the lab.
The real-time nature of this is what's really impactful, though, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we've just done a project in California on Chrome 6, and the engineers would have been waiting 2 weeks to get the result back from a particular setup of the pilot. They're now getting it 2 minutes later, which means their project has been compressed from probably 6 months to a month. So they can run simulations much more quickly, validate technologies and change outs of systems. Everyone's a winner.
So the data that you're talking about then, that's applicable through the design process, a pilot process, a finished product?
All the way through. So from design all the way through then to process optimization. And one of the things I didn't mention was that driving this is that remediation systems are getting more and more expensive. I mean, your average chrome remediation system is probably $200,000, past $50,000 a year to operate it. Selenium in the coal industry, maybe a $25 million plant, $5 million a year to run it. So if you can control that from an operational point and only do the treatment you need to do, still be compliant, but not sort of drive the numbers down through the floor, you're going to save a lot of money. A lot of chemical usage, a lot of power usage. So yeah, our instruments aren't cheap, but generally they generate a payback of less than 6 months, simply because it puts the operators in control of all the operating parameters they need to manage in order to stay compliant, but not spend more than they actually have to spend in terms of driving these systems. And then ultimately, you've got a risk management system, because it doesn't matter how great your remediation system, or they all fail. And again, this weekend, we had a client, their system went down at 3 o'clock in the morning. There's a pump failure on a dosing system. They got an alert at 3:05, say your pump system's down and your water's out of compliance. Well, if they'd waited till Monday morning, they would have shipped a few million gallons of water to unsuspecting consumers in their system. No one would have known about it, except if there'd been a regulatory reading on Tuesday.
Sure.
So, you know, it's, again, very much a risk management tool which people are using.
The real-time nature of this, I'm still recognizing how critically important that is in the example you just cited. But with utilities, I mean, are they embracing that? I mean, are they leveraging it? Are they using it appropriately?
I think there's some utilities who prefer to not know, you know, and there are others that recognize they have a duty of care, and there's a regulatory element to all of this. You know, the regulations are changing as well. So because this technology is available, you know, the regulator's now starting to, okay, well, we suspect something's going on here. We'd like a stream of high-frequency analytical data to just see whether it's always at 60 ppb or is it 200 ppb when we're not looking, and then, you know, 60 ppb on Friday when the sample was taken. So, yeah, that's a component to it.
So what types of things are your online instruments actually measuring?
So where we started life was disinfection byproducts, trimethanes, in drinking water. But now, actually, wastewater is a big issue because people are chlorinating wastewater, and that's going for reuse. And the regulations on wastewater are far tighter than they are, perversely, on drinking water. We've got semiconductor plants using that technology because of the water quality on the influent. So they're getting water from the city that doesn't meet that, you know, it's causing problems in their semiconductor plant. And then we made a good acquisition a couple of years ago of a trace metal analytical system. And we're now tackling arsenic, chrome 6, which is big in the West, selenium, which is big both in the sort of the utility market as well as semiconductors, copper, again, a very big semiconductor contaminant. So we've really got a very now broad range of applications for drinking water, wastewater, and if you like, industrial influent and effluent.
When you look at the sort of pace of regulation, or the focus of regulation, what have you seen over the last sort of like 5 years, and maybe as you project forward, what do you anticipate there?
I think they're broadening the scope, so there are new contaminants of concern that people are waking up to, like precursors, you know, sort of pharmaceuticals that have got into the system. So there's a broadening, but also if you take something like Chrome 6, the limit was 100 ppb. Now in California, it's 10. And I suspect that that will extend into other states across the country. But also they're talking about lowering even that. And the challenge has been is to first find a treatment system and get you down to that level, but then you've got to be able to monitor it. So you've got, you know, you've got analytical instruments out there in labs, but if they can't get down to PPTs, parts per trillion, or very, very low PPBs, you know, you're not going to know whether the treatment system is working or not. So again, I think it's regulators being aware that there's technology out there that can help them do their job, technologies that can do the remediation, mm-hmm. and they are out there, but no one's going to buy them unless the regulator tells them to you know, to use it. And it sort of all comes together. Yeah. Regulator, yeah. consumer, and technology. It's a very healthy sort of mix.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I understand you recently launched a THM formation potential analyzer. Tell us about that.
Okay, so most of these sort of readings are done in a sort of a frozen sample, you know, the standard EPA method. THM is a bit like chrome, is a dynamic contaminant. So as it goes out from the plant, the numbers will increase as a factor of time and temperature, essentially. So it's a contaminant that's always changing and increasing in presence. And we're able now, because we've got millions of pieces of data, to predict what that's going to be and therefore enable the plant operator to drive their plant, not off the number leaving the plant, but actually the number that will be at the consumer's tap. And so that puts them in real control of their total water system. And off the back of that, we've now been ISO certified. So it's a really powerful instrument.
And what about in that space of chromium 6? We heard a lot about that out of California and selenium. What are you guys doing there?
So again, it's real time, high frequency. So we're helping engineers and some of the big names design plant. In many cases, small cities have not been able, they've been looking at only a very expensive plant. And we've been able to, with the data, show that they could actually use simple dosing systems. And so wells that have been closed, they can now open and operate with a dosing system, but they need a monitoring system on the back of it to make sure the dosing system is working. So they're like 400 cities in California with a chrome problem. They've all got to be sorted out by January 2020. And so we're working with the engineers to design an appropriate system, then provide the monitoring, and then provide the risk management. And it's sort of an end-to-end solution. We're the only people who can do it with the level of accuracy and repeatability, very robust. So we measure the uptime of our instruments. They're all up more than 98.5% of the time. Now, no one even measures uptime on instruments. They'll tell you it's a good instrument or it's a bad instrument. They won't actually tell you what the uptime was. We control all of that.
Are you exhibiting here, WEFTEC?
Yep.
What are you principally showcasing here?
Really data. So we can sell a box, but actually we sell data. And so whether it's trace metals or THMs, people are buying data.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Rick, unfortunately, we're about out of time. Before I let you go, should anyone have any questions, how can they find you and where can they learn more about Aqua Metrology Systems?
Okay. So we have a website, www.aquametrologysystems.com. I know it's a long word, but it's there. And we're on booth 7456. And delighted to hear from you.
All right. Rick Bacon, the CEO of Aqua Metrology Systems. Great to have you. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure was ours. All right. That's all the time we have for today. Check out all of our broadcasts from WEFTEC in New Orleans at wateronlineradio.com. Thanks for listening to the show. On behalf of all of us, Todd Schnick signing off. Water Online Radio. We'll be right back.